KRCL champions building a more socially engaged Utah through locally driven programming that promotes music discovery and civic participation. Tune in to KRCL on 90.9 FM for a curated mix of music, including at least one track by a Utah artist every hour. From alternative rock to reggae, blues to bluegrass, KRCL is here to bring you the greatest bangers all day, every day.
Shh! Are you listening? This is Slug Sound Waves.
My name is Scott, and I play cello and write the music for Portal to the Goddamn Blood Dimension.
I'm Clark, and I do the vocals and lyrics for Portal to the Goddamn Blood Dimension. We also have Havoc on flugelhorn, Val on clarinet, Chuck on guitar, Jordan on drums, Matt on flugelhorn, Chris on saxophone, and I guess Zach now.
Two flugelhorns, two woodwinds, guitar, drum, cello, vocals. It's perfect.
Yeah, we'll say that's everyone.
So, 9 people on the most recent record total. And, you know, more people all the time doing different things. And I don't think that any of those particular roles are necessarily set in stone. So, ever-changing and interesting cast of people. So we just play orchestral, chamber, screamo, hardcore.
Jordan coined the term hardcorkestra.
Yeah, it's much more humorous than what we actually do.
I don't think it's that far off.
Yeah, but
I mean, you want to have breakdowns.
It's a little funnier than, you know, how self-serious we pretend we are when we play our songs. But yeah, it's generally long-form compositions that we write for chamber group, our chamber group, that are heavily influenced by the music that we like, which tends to be aggressive and loud and abrasive. We definitely have a varied history. We didn't just show up one day and write these songs. I mean, this has been something that's a passion project of mine for, you know, near a decade now. With that, I mean, you know, I'm not the same person that I was a decade ago, nor are my skills the same or interests the same. So a lot of what has happened in the last 10 years of my life has definitely colored and changed the way that I've approached music. And I think that the biography of the band follows that particular arc. You know, it's a group of people and you know, just like the members, there's a certain amount of flux that happens all the time, and this is definitely no exception.
Well, I know, like, where I came into it, like, I saw the name, and I was like, that's a great name, that's a great band name, when I saw it on, like, like flyers for shows. And look, independent of that, I knew Scott, like, from him being in Holdra, just sort of, like, as an acquaintance. And then at some point I actually finally saw Portal play, which was Scott, and he was playing cello and yelling, and there were projections and stuff, and I was like, this is a great band. And then like if it were like the romantic comedy version of the telling, it seemed like 5 minutes later I was like in the band.
I mean, that's definitely a compressed time scale, but
yeah.
Really, up until Clark joined the band, that's what I was doing, was playing the cello and yelling and carrying on just by myself. and carrying a lot of amps, setting up projection screens. I mean, there was a lot of work for one person, especially for like how unenjoyable it probably was for the audience. You know, it's a lot of 15 minutes of setup, 15 minutes of teardown, and 15 minutes of wondering what the hell was going on. I think both me as the performer wondering what the hell was going on and the audience wondering what the hell was going on. I mean, after a while of that, I wanted to, you know, that desire to always improve and push yourself was there, but I, you know, was still playing in a lot of different bands, and devoting the right amount of time to something when it's just you is a little difficult. So I had this epiphany that maybe I should bounce some of these ideas off of people, or sort of fill out the sound, you know, particularly around the lyrics. I mean, I was making up the lyrics, but that wasn't what my forte is, or where I want to spend my time. And so I had Clark and a friend Kale come and do vocals for a few shows, and you know, it meshed really well with Clark, and Clark was willing to sort of take the plunge with me and continue doing this particular project, which, you know, at that point when Clark joined up, which, you know, is a few years ago at this point.
Like 2016, I think.
2016, yeah, so 5 years ago.
Doesn't seem that, like it's that long.
I mean, it's really only 4 years because last year's doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's a kind of a mulligan year.
Yeah, we'll do 2020 over this year. But, you know, at that point, I think things got a little bit stranger. I think originally what I was doing was very much inspired by a lot of the trends in heavy metal, plus you know, that post-rocky chamber music thing that sort of happened through the 2010s. And when Clark joined up, I sort of had a lot more... There was a little bit more room to be weird. What we wanted to do was play an interesting live show. I mean, no matter what form that was, whether it was with a cello or with a computer or with a whole bunch of guitar pedals, there wasn't really a cohesive sound or anything that we were necessarily going for. I think that because of our personalities and because of our skill sets, there was a certain aesthetic that we were developing, but I don't think that that came as like a conscious sort of like, this is how it has to be effort. It was more just it was the parts of our personalities and our abilities sort of poking through at different times. So there was a lot of variety to those shows, but I think that they were still within a certain realm. And I also think that sort of like different, well, I think what we were trying to do was make an engaging live show. That was really the main goal, and whether that was bringing people out because they thought what we were doing was interesting, or they just wanted to see us, you know, completely train wreck. I think that's a pretty appealing reason to go to a show. I think there's a certain desire to see people do a really great job, but there's an equally powerful desire to see people fall on their face, you know. And it doesn't matter how nice you are. I think that there's always a little bit of rubbernecking when it comes to local bands or music or art in general. There's a little bit of I want to see the spectacle, whether it's a good spectacle or a bad spectacle. And I think we had that going for us for a long time. The hardest part of playing a live show is always that like a level of involvement for something that's really, really temporary. You know, I mean, especially the way we were doing things, the idea was I would write music and Clark would write lyrics, and then we would show up and do a concert. And sometimes we were going over what the set was in the green room before we'd play.
It was keeping it pretty loose.
Yeah, we definitely didn't want to be well rehearsed or repetitive. I think that was like the biggest thing is not being repetitive. you know, not in music itself, but in the particular environment, like the live show environment. We didn't want to be repetitive. We wanted that to be part of the reason why people came out, was to see something new, because that's really, like, you know, it's great to see a live show, it's great to listen to an album, but if either one of those gets stale, then to me that's one of those things that I don't want to do, is be stale in a live performance. I don't want to be the guy that looks too old to be up there, or the guy that's been doing the same thing for, you know, 10 years in the same way. I don't think that that's a good look for anybody. So hopefully, no offense to crusty old guys who have been doing the same thing for a decade, but that's, like, you know, not where, and, you know, who knows, maybe that'll be me, you know, next month, but that's not where I want to wind up, and that's not what interests me about music. It's that sort of, like, novelty of creating something and creating something that may be temporary, and sharing that sort of brief, you know, half hour set, 20 minute set with your friends and with strangers, and sort of, like, all being there for, you know, it's like a, it's not to over romanticize it, but it's like watching shooting stars, you know. Like, you can try and take a picture of it, it probably won't work.
I think the train wreck analogy was probably more apt.
Yeah, I think that's probably a little bit more our speed.
But, like, honestly, I don't think there were any sets, even, like, the one that you couldn't make it to,
yeah,
that went poorly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a different sort of, I guess, standard of like, what went well when it's not a rehearsed piece. Like, getting a sort of semi-improvisational set, like, right, is real kind of up, real up subjective. To you. Yeah, it's extremely subjective.
Yeah. At a certain point, you know, we'd been creating pieces of music for individual shows and then getting rid of them, and then I think, you know, we sort of made one that you know, there was that spark where I was like, maybe we shouldn't get rid of this piece immediately. And that was actually makes up the second half of the new album. The track's called Ashes, and we made that up in the basement of the Beehive, or Mark of the Bistro on State Street there. And you know, it was one of those sort of moments of creation where it came together really quick, and we're like, well, this is really cool. Maybe we should continue trying to figure out this song. And the way that things were going at that point, we had been doing a lot of, like, electronic, like, computer music, I think. And we're like, well, what if, you know, the idea then became, like, let's just make this a big orchestral piece, because that's sort of the direction that it was taking as I was writing it. So at that point, it was sort of like the tipping point where we were like, well, you know, this is starting to become something that requires more hands, something that we can't pull off on our own. And it was around that time that we, you know, we were very fortunate that we were able to assemble a band pretty quickly. In response to that, I think we wrote that song, and we sort of had stylings for another song along the same lines, and just started asking friends and friends of friends if anybody would be interested, and nobody told us to get lost. I think for the most part, everybody we asked at least joined up for a little while, and we're really enthusiastic and really participatory and great about the whole thing. So I mean, we really made that transition pretty easily. There wasn't, I mean, I was gonna say there was no awkward phase, but, like, you know, might have been the previous 7 years that were the awkward phase coming into like a full band situation. So that was the impetus there, was to, you know, we'd been doing something and we were ready to do something else, and that something else was sort of maybe more traditional than what we had been doing.
sensitive details. The only secret this city has been able to keep from me.
We've been very lucky to have some really great people who are willing to do things like that, where it's like, you know, it's tough to ask people to play a song, and then it's even tougher to, you know, coach them through how you want it to be played. Like, it's so hard to, like, be a bassist in a band and be like, all right, guitarist, here's what I want you to play, and then them being able to pull that idea off that you had in your head flawlessly, or even not even flawlessly, but getting close to what your original idea is. I mean, there's a lot of like, for people who haven't played in bands, I mean, most of what you do is trying to figure out how the heck to communicate the ideas that you have to other people, and usually it involves like yelling out a lot of numbers, like it's 1 2 3 3 3 3 3. All right, back to 1, and then it's A B A. You know, there's a lot of that goes on, and you know, that's why musical notation exists, is so that you don't have to yell numbers at somebody till you're red in the face, and then they're just like angry at you for yelling at them for so long. And not understanding why you're yelling at them because you thought you played 1 2 3 3 3 or whatever I said. You know, so bottom line is that it was really great to find so many people who are willing to jump on board and sort of like follow our lead. I mean, and do really amazing things with it. As far as I'm concerned, there's it definitely takes a lot of concentration. It's not like a showing up and drinking beer and partying with your friends like a lot of bands are want to be, but it's an interesting challenge and exercise to play with people in this way, and especially because it's exhausting music. I mean, we play fast and we play slow, we hold long notes, which is really great on a synthesizer but not so great on a trumpet or something like that. So the way that we approach and rehearse this music is significantly different than anything I've worked on in the past. You know, there's not the opportunity to come in and play the same song 10 times till you get it right. You sort of...
We'd be there for hours!
Yeah. Not only would we be there for hours, but we would also just physically, you know, you only get 2 lungs, you only get 2 arms, and they run out of energy at a certain point. And so there's a lot of that aspect of the music is just created out of or executed by people who are just really, really devoted and are willing to sort of take that preparation time and come to rehearsals well rehearsed and knowing what's going on and sort of being a little bit more business or business casual, as I suppose, than you know, they would be in other band situations. So it's been an interesting challenge and an interesting learning experience. But you know, the people we've had come along are just so excellent for this particular experiment. So
I don't think anyone's showed up to practice in khakis and like a polo shirt.
No, like it's actually part of it's business casual exclusively, or you know, excluding that particular part. Send people home to change at that point. Sorry, no polo shirts. I want the world.
Yeah.
Clark, what's the name of the band?
The name of the band is Portal to the Goddamn Blood Dimension.
And what's the song called?
It is called Lobe.
Lobe the Most Recent.
Lobe the Most Recent.
And you can find it on our Bandcamp with the rest of our songs.
It's so different when you can feel the horns. Alone on a city bus in the middle of the night. The driver pulled over for a smoke. And you're not quite sure where you are. Somewhere in the South Valley. Not everything is mysterious. Your life isn't a film. And you can't think of another word for eyes. But you keep looking anyway. If you point out the ugliness in a calm voice, are you glamorizing it? Oh, to control what you forget. You're damned, and that's really all there is to it. Scaring someone just struggling to get by. Walking carefully to the places you wanted to go. It sounded better when you said it to yourself in your head. You can't picture a scenario where you can just let yourself be. You can stand this reminiscent fog when it's warm. But not now. Sure what it is yet.
We haven't really been rehearsing in this last year, but we have written more or less three, you know, like I'd say like 2 hours of music across three albums that we've put together. I know that for the most part I've gotten all the music written out, and Clark's got lyrics for all three of the albums at this point. So, but yeah, with all this extra free time, it was one of those things where we have all this new material that I tricked Clark into writing all at once. So now we've sort of got a backlog, which is really great. Now that everybody's got a vaccine and we can start rehearsing them again, I just have to go to Kinko's and print out the scores. The newest album, so we released it digitally September 15th of last year. It's called Rotten Fruit Regular Orchard, and it's 34 minutes and 14 seconds long across two tracks. And we, caught the attention of Ripcord, and they put it out on cassette. And we've got some other real exciting news around that record, I think, in the near future. So, you know, just like everybody's favorite Facebook post, like, big news soon. Big news soon. So I don't think I can really say what it is yet, but that's coming up. And then we've got a whole bunch of new material that's equally as sprawling and potentially better written than the last one. So I'm like very, very excited about the new stuff, mostly just to play something new, because we maybe have played these songs a little longer than I had intended. Luckily, we're the only band called Portal to the Goddamn Blood Dimension. So if you search for Portal to the Goddamn Blood Dimension on any platform, you'll find us. But Bandcamp is probably the best place. I mean, that you can find our music on Spotify, you can find it on Facebook, you can find it on Twitter, although the Twitter account's just a mess, because that's just me cyberbullying political figures. That's basically what I use that for.
I was tied to the line. One eternity later.
If you enjoyed this episode of Soundwaves,
please take 60 seconds to rate and review us on iTunes.
Subscribe to Slug Mag's YouTube channel for monthly virtualized concerts featuring Utah musicians. The next concert premieres April 23rd at 8 p.m. and features D.D. Darby Duffin, Bree Ray, and Jay Warren.
But I hate these fucking people! And I hate this fucking band! And we're trapped here for a while! And I'm spacing out!